Artine. To the silence of one who leaves us dreaming. In the bed prepared for me were an animal, bruised and slightly bleeding, no larger than a bun, a lead pipe, a gust of wind, an icy seashell, spent cartridge, two fingers of a glove, a spot of oil. There was no prison door, rather the taste of bitterness, a glazier's diamond, one hair, one day, a broken chair, a silkworm, the stolen object, an overcoat chain, a tame green fly, a branch of coral, a cobbler's nail, a bus wheel. To offer a glass of water to a horseman as he passes, hurtling headlong on a racetrack invaded by the mob, takes an absolute awkwardness on both sides. Artine brought to the mind she visited this monumental drought. Impatient, he was perfectly aware of the order of dreams which would henceforth haunt his brain, especially in the realm of love, whose devouring activities usually appeared in other than sexual moments. Assimilation developing through the dead of darkness in hothouses closed tight. Artine traverses effortlessly the name of a town. Silence unleashes sleep. The objects described by and gathered under the name of nature précise form part of the setting for erotic acts bound to fatal consequences, an epic daily and nocturnal. Hot imaginary worlds circulating ceaselessly in the countryside at harvest time render the eye aggressive and solitude intolerable to the wielder of destructive power. For extraordinary upheavals, however, it is preferable to rely altogether upon them. The lethargic state preceding Artine added what was indispensable to the projection of striking impressions onto the screen of floating ruins, eiderdown in flames, cast into the unfathomable abyss of perpetually moving shadows. In spite of animals and cyclones, Artine retained an inexhaustible freshness. On outings, this was the most absolute transparency. For the most active depression, the array of Artine's beauty may arise. But the curious minds remain nevertheless furious, the indifferent minds extremely curious. Artine's appearances went past the border of those countries of sleep, where the four and the four are endowed with an equal and murderous violence. They occurred in the folds of burning silk, peopled with ashen-leaved trees. Washed and renovated, the horse-drawn chariot nearly always won out over the saltpeter-papered apartment playing host for an interminable evening to the multitude of Artine's mortal enemies. The deadwood face was particularly odious. The breathless race of two lovers at random along the highway suddenly became a diversion sufficient for a dramatic unfolding thereupon. Out in the open air. Sometimes, a careless movement caused a head other than mine to sink on Artine's breast. The enormous sulfur block consumed its substance slowly and smokelessly, presence in itself vibrating, motionless. The book open on Artine's knees could be read only on overcast days. At irregular intervals, heroes would come to learn the calumnies once more to befall them, and in what numerous and fearful directions their irreproachable fate would start out fresh. Concerned only with fatality, they presented for the most part an agreeable appearance. They moved about slowly and were not loquacious. They expressed their desires in broad, unforeseeable motions of their heads. Moreover, they seemed to be utterly unconscious of each other. The poet has slain his model,